We're turning in our Bibles once again to the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You notice right away in two verses, there are similar references to the leading of the Lord, the leading of the shepherd. He leadeth me. In the East, and the Bible is an Eastern book, we have to remember that, the shepherd always walks ahead of the sheep. And he searches out the best paths for their feet and looks for the greenest feeding grounds. The Lord Jesus Christ referred to this, particularly in John chapter 10, where in verses 3 and 4, he said, "To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." There's the leading of the sheep by the shepherd. A Christian is a person who follows Christ. The word disciple is a well-known New Testament word, and it literally means a follower or one who learns. And the sheep are to follow the shepherd. Whenever blind Bartimaeus was healed, the last thing that we read of him in Mark chapter 10 verse 52 is that he followed Jesus in the way. He followed Jesus in the way. There's a hymn which is based upon Psalm 23. "I have a shepherd, one I love so well, how he has blessed me, tongue can never tell." In that song, it speaks of the leading of the shepherd. How that he goes before and how that his sheep follow after him. The Lord graciously leads his people and they follow him. So if you wanted a description, a very apt description of a Christian, as opposed to someone who's not a Christian, a Christian is one who follows Christ, and a non-Christian is one who does not follow Christ. Now in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, we read something really interesting in chapter 33. Genesis 33 from verse 12. And we have here these words of Jacob, where he said, "Let us take our journey, and let us go, and I will go before thee." And he said unto him, "My Lord knoweth that the children are tender, and the flocks and herds with young are with me. And if men should overdrive them one day, all the flock will die. Let my Lord, I pray thee, pass over before his servant, and I will lead on softly, according as the cattle that goeth before me, and the children be able to endure." I will lead on softly. That's what the Lord does in relation to his people. He is the shepherd who leads the sheep. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 11 gives us this wonderful promise about the Lord. "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young." And there we have the picture of the ewes, the mother sheep, those that are going to be lambing. And he gently leads them along. The leading of the Lord is brought before us in Psalm 23. Every Christian is able to say, He leadeth me. But there are four things about the leading of our shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we really need to consider. And the first of those is when we are led by him. When are the sheep led by the shepherd? Well, they're led by the shepherd on a daily basis, but they're led in the proper way. They're led in the right way when, frankly, they're willing to be led. And that's an important point for us to think about. The sheep are led by the shepherd in the right paths when they are willing to be led in the right paths. One thing about sheep that we learn from Scripture as well as from everyday life, if we have any dealings with sheep, is how easily they stray. Now, the Scripture clearly teaches that all of Christ's sheep follow him. I just read from John chapter 10. The Lord said, the sheep hear his voice. He calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. He goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. That's the thing about the sheep. They follow the instructions, the leading, the direction, the voice of the shepherd. But sadly, there are times, and every shepherd can mention this, every shepherd can confirm this, when sheep do not follow as they ought. They stray. They go into areas that are dangerous for them. They go in ways that are potentially very injurious to them. And that certainly has application to the life of every Christian. Would to God that we would be following the leading of the shepherd at all times. But sadly, there are those times when, as the Lord's sheep, and I'm speaking now to Christians, we are inclined to run ahead of the Lord. We're not following the shepherd, we're running ahead of him. And we get ourselves into all kinds of scrapes, and into all kinds of difficulty. We get into the wrong paths because we're not willing to wait for his direction, his guidance, his leading. We should be following after his steps. And so that's something that every Christian needs to learn every day, to be following the shepherd and not necessarily the promptings of his own heart. We may have to wait sometimes for the Lord's direction. The Bible speaks of the voice of the shepherd. There are those times when the shepherd doesn't say anything. There are those times when the shepherd's voice is silent. And we may have to wait for certain direction from the Lord for him to make his will clear to us. Psalm 32 verse 8 gives us a tremendous promise concerning guidance and direction and leading, where the Lord says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. And many of us can testify to that guidance, that direction, that leading of the Lord. In Genesis chapter 24, there's a story of Abraham's servant. His name was Eliezer. And he was sent by Abraham to look for a bride for Isaac. And when he found that bride, it was as a result of the leading of the Lord. It was as a result of God giving him direction in answer to his prayer. And he was able to say in the aftermath of all of that, I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's servant. I being in the way, the Lord led me. One thing about Eliezer that you discover from that portion is that he was willing to be led. And friend, if you're willing to be led, the Lord will show you the way. But that's the question. Are you willing for all the will of God? It's so easy to say, and it's so easy to sing things like, where he may lead me, I will go, for I have learned to trust him so. For I remember 'twas for me that he was slain on Calvary. It's easy to sing that. It's maybe not so easy when it comes to the doing of it. And it's one thing to be willing to be led in a direction that we ourselves want to go in. But it's a totally different thing when there are ways that we don't want to go, and yet the Lord would want us to go in those ways. What is our attitude then? Thou sweet, beloved will of God. I read in the Old Testament of a particular incident in the life of Jeremiah. We read about it in two chapters, in Jeremiah chapters 42 and 43. Without going into all the detail, basically the content of these chapters is the following. There were a group of people, from the least to the greatest of the people, and they came to Jeremiah asking him to pray for them, and in particular, to pray specifically. And the words of Jeremiah 42 verse 3 bring this to us. That the Lord thy God may show us the way wherein we may walk and the thing that we may do. That's a very simple request. Jeremiah, you're a prophet of God. Will you pray to the Lord for us? And will you pray that he might show us the way that we're to walk in and the thing that we're supposed to do? And Jeremiah complied with that. Jeremiah 42 verse 4, he said unto them, I have heard you. Behold, I will pray unto the Lord your God according to your words. And it shall come to pass that whatsoever thing the Lord shall answer you, I will declare it unto you. I will keep nothing back from you. And let me just stop there to say that's the kind of preacher the Apostle Paul was. Because in Acts chapter 20 he said to the elders at Ephesus that he had kept back nothing that was profitable unto them. And any man who's worth his salt is not going to be concerned about how it is received. He's going to preach the word as the Lord shows it to him. He will keep nothing back from you. I want the Lord to make me that kind of preacher. I'm not in a popularity contest. I want to preach the word as it is, not how people would like it to be. So Jeremiah is a faithful preacher. Jeremiah is a faithful prophet. I'm going to declare to you exactly what the Lord tells me. That's my promise. I will keep nothing back from you. Now fast forward to the next chapter. Chapter 43. And here's after Jeremiah has gotten his answer from God. It actually took him 10 days to pray about that, that the word of the Lord came to him. Jeremiah 42 verse 7 tells us that. It came to pass after 10 days that the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah. Why did the Lord not answer him the first day? I don't know. Why does the Lord not answer our prayers the day that we make them? Because that's his will. But when he made his will known, Jeremiah told it exactly as God told it to him. Here's what you're to do. Here's where you're to go. This is what the Lord says. And when he gave the answer to them, it says in verse 1 of chapter 43, it came to pass that when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking unto all the people, all the words of the Lord their God, for which the Lord their God had sent him to them, even all these words, then spake Azariah, Johanan, all the proud men, saying unto Jeremiah, thou speakest falsely. The Lord our God hath not sent thee to say, go not into Egypt to sojourn there. And if you read the aftermath of this, they went in the way that they themselves decided that they wanted to go. So when they asked Jeremiah to pray to the Lord for them to get the answer as to what they should do, because the answer didn't suit them, because the answer didn't fit in with their own agenda, they said, no, 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 you're not telling the truth, Jeremiah. You have got the wrong message. That's not from God. Here's what we're going to do. And there's a lot of people in the day in which we live who are exactly the same as that. They're going to do what they're going to do. And if God's word happens to agree with it, if the Lord's word happens to fit in with it, well and good. But if it doesn't, they're still going to do it. Are they the Lord's sheep? What is our attitude to what the shepherd says to us? There was a very unpopular message given by Paul to some people in the New Testament In the book of Acts chapter 21, we read about that. But notice the contrast there. Because the Bible says in Acts 21 that in verse 11, when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle, this is this man called Agabus, and bound his own hands and feet and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews of Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Please, Paul, don't go there. We don't want this to happen to you. And then it says in verse 13, then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Don't be trying to stop me from doing the will of God. But what was their answer to that? Verse 14 of Acts 21. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, the will of the Lord be done. Now here are people entirely different from those that we read about in Jeremiah chapter 43. Here are people who are willing for the will of God, though it cuts right across their own desire. Now listen, Christ is doing the leading. He's the shepherd. We have to follow. This is when the sheep are led. They're led by the shepherd when they're willing to follow his lead. The sheep are not to run ahead of the shepherd. They're not to lag behind the shepherd. They're not to turn to the right or to the left or to go into some bypath meadow. They are to follow him. Psalm 25 verses 4 and 5. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. This is the attitude of the sheep who's following the shepherd. I have read from a very wonderful little commentary by Douglas Macmillan, who was a preacher, but before that he was a shepherd. And he gives some wonderful illustrations. Included was this one. He said, I remember one winter in Scotland, it was the month of November, we had been late in bringing the young sheep down into the parks and they were still on the mountains. An early snowstorm came and a gale of wind with it and we had to go off into the mountain to get the sheep. We were walking against a blizzard, a very difficult thing to do. You can't see where you're going, there's snow in your eyes, you can't breathe, there's snow in your throat, it's pouring onto your person, your coat becomes caked with that snow. And Macmillan said, I was walking up a mountain track, which I knew inside out, but I was having to watch every inch and fight for every step of progress I made. I was doing it for one reason only. I was concerned about all these young sheep. Coming behind me up the mountain was my brother, the one that is on the farm still. He was and he still is a big, hefty fellow and very strong. Macmillan said, I was called the wee fellow in our house. The one walking behind me that day was the one called the big fellow. He was walking behind me and suddenly when I was just on the point of saying, I think we'll pack this in, can't go any further, I felt a tap on my shoulder and my big brother said to me, I'll go in front for a while. So he came round me and I walked in behind him and he said, you know, it was as if I'd arrived in a different world. I would have hardly known that it was snowing at all, and I certainly wouldn't have known that there was a breath of wind. There was this big fellow in front of me, and all I had to do to keep going was very simple. I just watched his feet, and I put my feet where his feet had been. I knew that if there was a soft spot, a bog there, he would be up to his neck in it before I would. But I discovered something else. The closer I kept behind him, the easier it was for me. The moment I fell back a bit, even if it was only a couple of steps, I was beginning to battle on my own and I would have to hurry and catch up. And Macmillan applied that and he said, if we would only follow Jesus, the same thing would happen. If we follow him afar off, we're going to be struggling on our own. But we follow closely, we walk with him, and we find that he takes the brunt of everything. He leadeth me. When the sheep are led is when they're willing to follow the shepherd. But we think secondly of the way we are led by him. He leadeth me. He says it twice. Now, what way does God lead us? What way does he direct us? Well, first of all, we have to remember that the Christian life is a walk of faith. It's a walk of faith. There are things we don't understand. There are things that we can't figure out. And we don't walk by sight. Therefore, we walk by faith. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7 uses those exact words in parenthesis. For we walk by faith, not by sight. You don't always go by what you see. You go by what you see by faith. And so we might say that we literally do not see our heavenly shepherd. When we read the New Testament, we read of men who actually did see him in physical form, the disciples. But we don't see the Lord like that anymore. We don't know the Lord after the flesh. That's what the Apostle Paul said. So I don't care what Benny Hinn says. The Lord says we don't know him anymore after the flesh. We walk by faith. Now how does faith operate? Faith doesn't operate by licking your finger and putting it up to the window to see whatever way it's blowing. Faith operates by and through the scriptures and by the Spirit of God operating in the scriptures. And by the way, the two go together. You know, you hear a lot of people talking about following the leading of the Spirit. But I want to tell you, if that leading of the Spirit is contrary to that book, it's not the leading of the Spirit. Whatever you might say. Because God never, and I mean never, leads contrary to his word. He never does. He always leads according to his own word. He will not deny himself. He can't. So it may be that for a certain course of action in your life, you would say, well, I don't have a particular text or a particular verse of scripture for this. And yet I feel that the Lord is prompting me in this direction. And I believe in that. I believe there is such a thing. The Lord is able to direct you so that you know that it's the right thing to do. Give you an example. You may be with somebody and you just get a sudden urge in your heart to speak to that person about the Lord. Now you don't have to lift your Bible and start looking for a verse that says, now you are to speak to someone today. You don't need that. You know that urging within your heart is from the Lord. The Lord has opened up the opportunity. Maybe the person's asked you a question. It's a very leading question. And so immediately you can bring the word of God to them. And I believe that the Lord does lead us in that way. And we should be looking out for those kinds of opportunities. As we're following the shepherd, he may lead us to other sheep that we will be used to bring into the fold. But let me say that the Lord does usually lead his people according to his word and by means of his word. And one thing's for absolute certain, he will never lead us contrary to the scriptures. The way that we're led, he leadeth me. We should always be praying daily that we might know of all assurance the leading of the Lord. If you look at the psalmist in some of his other references, for example, back in Psalm 5 and verse number 8, he was constantly praying for the leading of the Lord in his life. Psalm 5 verse 8, lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. That's a good prayer to pray. Yes, we can say with Psalm 23, he leadeth me. But we can understand that he leads us as we pray for that leading. As we look to him for that leading. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness. Do that today. Make thy way straight before my face. Show me the way in which I should go. When we are led as sheep by him. The way we are led as sheep by him. Let's think thirdly of this. Where we are led as sheep by the shepherd. The psalmist says, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. One thing you'd be totally certain about is that your heavenly shepherd will never lead you into the practice of sin. That's the fault of the sheep. That's not the fault of the shepherd. Christ leads us in right paths. He leads us in the way that we should go. And as we think about an ordinary shepherd, an earthly shepherd, you'll find that if he's a good shepherd, he will never lead the sheep where they can come to any harm. He's never going to do that. He's never going to deliberately lead the sheep to somewhere that's not good for them. We can understand that in our lives. The Lord is never going to lead you anywhere that he can't keep you. He's never going to lead you anywhere that he can't feed you. He's never going to lead you anywhere that's not for your benefit and for his glory. Now, I know that's easy to say and maybe not so easy to live, because there are hard things that come into people's lives. There are experiences that the sheep have that are difficult. But we have to understand by faith that Christ our shepherd always leads us in right paths. He's never going to lead us where we come to harm or in any way that's not for our benefit. And again, there are scriptures that bear that out. Again, I think of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 48, verse 17. Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. Not the way that you necessarily want to go, but the way that you should go. As for God, the psalmist said in another place, his way is perfect. But oftentimes the ways that the Lord leads us are not the ways that we would naturally choose. Why is that? Well, it's because he's God and we're not. See, the Lord sees things in a different way from us. And if we were to get our way, what awful difficulties we would get into. But the Bible tells us in Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, that the Lord says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heaven is high above the earth, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So my way of thinking, the direction that I think that I should go, is not necessarily going to coincide with God's thinking in the matter, or the way that he would want me to go. But his way is perfect. Because frankly, the shepherd is wiser than the sheep. He's all wise. And I think we're only going to realize that fact, some of us, when we get to heaven. Sometime, we'll understand. I've heard life described as a tapestry. And I think that's a good way to describe it. If you ever look at a tapestry from the underside, it's just a mass of threads and knots, and it doesn't make any sense. But when you turn it over, you see a beautiful picture that was made from those threads. And that's how it is with life. We look at the underside and it's just a mass of tangled threads and knots and a meaningless picture. But God's looking at the tapestry from his side, because he's the one who's weaving the tapestry. He's the one that's threading the threads of our life through to bring about that beautiful picture. And therefore, when we get to heaven, I believe personally, we will understand why we were led in certain ways. The hymn writer said, I'll bless the hand that guided, I'll bless the heart that planned, when throned where glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. You look at the tangled threads of your life, the disappointments, the troubles, the bereavements, the sicknesses, the sadnesses, and it doesn't make sense. and you look at ungodly people, you look at people who hate God, and their lives look like they're hunky-dory. It's all good. They prosper. They don't get into any trouble. It seems like they get the wind at their back, and you get the wind in your face, and you can't understand why that should be. And the psalmist was there one time. Just read for yourself Psalm 73, and you'll see clearly that he was in that very spot. He said, "Lord, look at the wicked. They prosper. They're not in trouble like other men. Why is this?" Until he came to understand their end. He looked at the long picture, the big picture, and he realized, "I have none in heaven but thee. There's none that I desire on earth beside thee. I'm going to be brought to my desired end. The shepherd is wiser than the sheep. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness." Again, if we consult Psalm 25, and in verse 10, the psalmist could say, with all assurance, this is not somebody just whistling in the dark, he really believes this. "All," not some, "all the paths," plural, "of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies." In another place, the Bible says, "Thy paths drop fatness." Oh, the Lord leads in the right way. He leads us in the right way. "And he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness." There's an application there to our sanctification. Christ makes us, as his sheep, walk in ways of holiness and purity. That's how he wants us to walk. By his word, he shows us how to live. It's simple. The Bible says it. This is what we're to do. The Bible says it. This is what we're not to do. That's how we're to live. This is the only rule of faith and practice. For Bible believers, it's clear. This is how we're to live. And then by his Spirit, he gives us the desire to walk in that way. I don't want to sin against the Lord. I do sin against the Lord. I don't always do or say or think what I ought. I don't always do or think or say what I should say. There are things that I fail to do that the Lord would want me to do. And all of us have to confess that. But the Lord, by his Spirit, gives us a desire to live in conformity to his word. And think about Christ himself. He walked in the paths of righteousness. That's how he walked. And so, if we're following the shepherd, we're obviously going to be walking in paths of righteousness. Because that's where he walks. Oh, that we could live like Christ lived. Oh, to be like him, our blessed Redeemer. And we must seek to be like him in our daily lives. You know, it's not just God's purpose to take you to heaven when you die. That's not the only reason that God has saved you. He saved you that it might make a difference in this life, as long as you're here. How do we know that? Because that's what the Bible says. In Titus chapter 2, from verse 11, "The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us." You know, God's grace teaches us. What does it teach us? That denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, some things that we're not to be doing, some things that we're not to be getting into, denying these things, we should live, what way? Soberly, righteously, and godly. Where? In this present world, here. Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. Not only that he might take us to heaven, but that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. This is God's purpose. This is the shepherd's purpose for the sheep, that they walk in paths of righteousness. We must seek to be like him. And this is what the Lord is doing in daily sanctification. We're being conformed to the image of his Son. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6 puts it like this. "He that saith he abideth in him." Here's somebody that professes to be a Christian. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. There's the standard. There's the standard to walk even as he walked. Following Jesus ever day by day. Nothing can harm me when he leads the way. Darkness or sunshine, whatever befall, Jesus my shepherd is my all in all. And notice here as well, before we leave this point to come to the last one. It's not path singular, it's paths plural. He leadeth me in the paths plural of righteousness for his name's sake. Did you notice that? What does that mean? Well, it's paths because the sheep may go in a different path each day. You know, the Lord's path for you today may be different from his path tomorrow. He may lead you by a totally different pathway. Today everything may be going pretty well for you, but then tomorrow your world comes crashing in on you because some event has taken place that was unforeseen. You're going in a different path then. But if you're following the shepherd, it doesn't matter whether it's a path that has the sunshine on it or a path that's full of hailstones and snow and wind. It's the path that he is leading you. So it's a right path. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Whatever path you walk through life, it ought to be a path of holiness. And then we come to this final thought. And it is why we are led as sheep by the shepherd. When we are led, the way we are led, where we are led, why we are led. And it's in these words that we get the answer. For his name's sake. It's all about him. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. In other words, it's for his glory, because when you think about the name of the Lord, a name in Scripture, particularly when it's dealing with the Lord, it denotes his honor and his character. So you read various things about the Lord, and there's one here that we read about, obviously, which is that he's our shepherd. And so that brings before us his character. This is what the Lord does. This is who the Lord is. He's our shepherd. He feeds us. He provides for us. He directs us. He leads us. He causes us to lie down. He's with us. He protects us. He goes before us. He deals with our enemies. He looks after us and gives us all that we need. And therefore, when we think of his name, it denotes his honor and his character. The Lord leads the sheep in paths of righteousness for the glory of his own name. And therefore, there's a message for each of us. We should always be seeking, whatever we do, to honor our shepherd. To bring glory to him. To make sure that others think well of him. That's our job. We are to reflect his glory. Do you know when you tell people, I am a Christian, immediately that sets you up as a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what do they say? Are they getting a good reflection of Christ from me or a bad one? Because after all, that's how people think. Whenever they look at you and you say, well, I'm a follower of Christ, therefore they're going to expect that the things that you do and say, the attitudes that you have, all that you entertain in your life, is going to be a reflection of him. And Jesus said to his disciples, Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify you, honor you, think well of you. No. He says that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. See that? We're supposed to be bringing glory to our Father in heaven by the way that we live. What a challenge there is in that. What kind of a representative am I of Jesus Christ? The Apostle Paul said to the Corinthians, now then, are we ambassadors for Christ? Ambassadors for Christ. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20. You know what an ambassador is? Well, I'm sure you're familiar with the U.S. ambassador to whatever country he happens or she happens to be in. When a representative of this country goes to another country and they serve as an ambassador of the United States, they are a representative of this country, representing the administration, representing the government, representing the people of the United States. We are ambassadors for Christ. We're in a foreign country. This is not our home. We don't belong here. We're ambassadors. We've been sent from our Heavenly Father to live in this world, but we're pilgrims and strangers here. This is not our home. We're in a foreign country, but we're here on a mission, and it is to represent our head, the Lord Jesus Christ. We should always be seeking to represent Him very well. The honor and glory of our shepherd is at stake. And so whenever he leads in a certain path, we can say as well, it is for the glory of his own name. And when we walk in righteousness, it brings glory to the name of the Lord. So let us think about that. All the service that you perform, let it be for his name's sake and not yours. We're not here to make a name for ourselves. It's not about us. It's about Him. It's about His glory. The sheep are to represent their shepherd. Let me give you a couple of scriptures to finish. Psalm 31, verse 3. For Thou art my rock and my fortress, therefore for Thy name's sake, there it is again, for Thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Let it be to the honor of thy great name. And we think then of 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. What a model for life this is. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, just the mundane things of life, everyday living, you eat, you drink, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now let's stop right there. If there's something that you're doing and you can't do it to the glory of God, you shouldn't be doing it. I don't care whether it's in church or out of church. If you can't say that God is glorified by this, should you be doing it? Whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. May we be living to bring glory to His name. May we be good representatives of our Heavenly Shepherd.